Our guest today, Feist, is the Canadian artist who first broke through with the single 1-2-3-4 on her 2007 album, The Reminder, but who's been playing in Canada with Broken Social Scene and on her own since she was a teenager. Her fourth and latest album, Metals, was released in October. The music for this session was recorded at World Cafe Live in Philadelphia as part of our World Cafe 20th Anniversary Concert Weekend. When I got a chance to sit down with Feist, I asked her about the period of time she took off before working on Metals. With the success of 1-2-3-4, she'd been on the road for a long time.
It wasn't impulsive, because that kind of thing you need to plan like 6 months in advance, you know? Touring, everything happens so far in advance. And I think what I ended up doing is picking an arbitrary line on the calendar and like turning it red and saying, that's the brick wall and we're going to stop after that, because I did get the feeling I could just go on forever, which is a great thing in some ways, because it meant that there was enough momentum and kind of steam that it could just keep moving.
You know, I hate asking people this, because sometimes they can seem to be unappreciative, but is there a downside to having something blow up as big as 1-2-3-4 did?
You know, it's one thing I've started to figure out from, you know, working in most all aspects of what goes around my name and what goes around the music, you know, working with the live show and the band and the artwork or the videos or all that kind of stuff around, is even when something doesn't work out, even when something kind of falls flat or it doesn't resonate or it doesn't take root after lots of work, it still just doesn't seem to work. I think there's still an advantage to those moments, because they kind of point you in knowing what you don't want. You end up finding out what you do want. And so the things about what happened around The Reminder that didn't feel right, that didn't kind of fit with me, they still ended up being such a Muppety idea here. It's like even the awkward stuff still ended up sort of becoming, you know, just sort of strengthening whatever homing beacon I had that was telling me that it was time to stop or to guide myself differently or whatever. So there was just basically a kind of strange identity warp that happened, where the external stuff was starting to define the stuff on the inside, which has always been the thing for me, that ever since there was any awareness around what I do, I just thought, well, the only thing that keeps it relevant is if the inside is determining whatever gets amplified on the outside. So once that started to shift, I did feel like, yeah, I mean, some internal homing beacon kicked in. It was like, oh yeah, you got to pull back for a while.
Well, now, how does that, now here you go, you have a new album, I mean, Metals is out. With that kind of insight, do you approach even the release of a new album differently? Or can you control it?
Yeah, I guess there's some logistical stuff that's super boring that is basically about how to spend your time and knowing, you know, just knowing the pros and cons of the just never-ending movement thing. And so we're trying to like not have the touring just dovetail into each other, because that can easily happen. And, you know, there's just a lot of kind of little pieces of the puzzle that when you put them together properly, they make the bigger picture a lot easier to maintain, basically. It's very mysterious. Am I being too mysterious?
No,
boring. It's stuff like sleep and, you know.
Right. Well, if touring and recording and all that is kind of output, I guess the downtime is kind of input, and I'm wondering what your input was during that time. Did you read a lot? Did you travel? What did you do?
I guess I tried to find a place back in my family. You know, I tried to that's about just sort of days, just sort of one day at a time, presence around those people, or, you know, people that you've been with your whole life, you know, family. And when you're away from them almost all the time, that kind of day-to-day normalcy gets really, really difficult to be normal within, because it's not normal to show up and see your family one day out of every 6 months or something. It makes that one day not really just like the normal days, you know? So I just inserted myself back into the kind of day-to-day fray, and I guess it was really an experiment to be still, because it had been, I mean, I'd kind of been on tour since 2001 at that point, and I stopped in 2008, I guess, so mm-hmm. end of 2008. So it was really, everything was just about trying to teach myself how to, you know, wake up in the same town every day and not there's a disconnected thing that can happen where you don't really claim your day when you know it's going to be different again tomorrow, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just that kind of stuff.
And so was there a time where you finally wanted to pick up an instrument, wanted to do something, or did you resist it? Or
no, it was pretty natural. I started to find my mind doing that thing that is familiar, where it just starts to frame. I started to look through a kind of specific lens and look at the way things connect and sort of patterns in language and circumstances and identifying some kind of graspable truths that was also kind of a, I guess it is, it always comes back down to reframing what you're going through or what you see going on around you or whatever in some sort of graspable song form. And I had lost that for a few years. I wasn't that curious about that for a while. So when I found my mind just finding pleasure again in making the little hooks and connecting them together, then picking up a guitar again was sort of the natural next step. And yeah, I started to do that kind of this time last year. It was in the autumn last year.
I want to go to the stage now. Feist is our guest, and I want to hear this performance. This is one of the songs you'll find on Metals, and a really nice performance of Graveyard.
Thank you.
A song you well know from Metals, from our guest today, Feist, on stage at World Cafe Live with How Come You Never Go There. And, you know, it's interesting to me, lyrically, a lot of these songs have a whole lot of natural references. I'm thinking of A Circle Mary at the Line, the cover with, you know, the big F stick, all very organic. And yet the album is called Metals. And I want to, can you tell us what the metaphor is for you?
I always feel a little bit sort of guilty when I talk about this, only because I don't know why I should feel guilty about it, but it's such a, just really giving myself over to the constant symbolic triangulation of all the things and sort of framing everything in the sort of mythology. Like, I spend a lot of time thinking about it, but I guess that's like the pleasure of putting this stuff together is figuring out what resonates. And Metals, I guess, ended up feeling like the most fitting title because it's transmutability, and it is a natural raw element in the sense that it's, when it's found, it's in veins inside the earth, you know, it's sort of deeply rooted, you know, deep inside the pockets of the planet, you know, it's a naturally occurring thing that, and then through great effort of an ingenuity of man going back, way back, you know, it's somehow brought up to the surface and changed completely and turned into any amount of things. And in modern day, even more so, because if you think of, you know, just looking around the room here, it's like there's microphones and there's technology and there's, you know, someone's jewelry. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where, depending on the mind that touches it, it becomes anything. It could become anything. And I also read this amazing book called 1491, where I was talking about the Americas before the Europeans came over, mm-hmm. and the clash of the Aztec cultures and the Spaniards, that moment where they met and basically history was completely changed, it was basically steel meeting gold. I mean, it was the difference between a culture that found, you know, iron underneath their soil and the country that found gold, because gold is soft. So their whole culture was formed by making the most stunning iconography and cladding these pyramids in sheets of paper thin gold that they'd beat out. And so it would make the sun more dazzling. And they'd had really intricate toys made of 37 interlocking parts made of gold and wheels and jewelry and stuff. And then, you know, the Spaniards come and they found iron. So they come, you know, coated in it with swords and armor. And there's just something I found really powerful and sort of how the metals change a people, but while the people kind of use what metals they found. And it felt like that each song could be associated with a different metal, you know, from something like mercury that measures temperature, which is such a beautiful poetic idea that a metal is going to move around and dance around encased in glass and tell you the temperature. It's just so beautiful. And then on the other side, you've got, you know, the tiny pieces of a cell phone or something, or a scaffolding of a skyscraper. And this is why I told you I feel a little guilty, because obviously I spent a lot of time thinking about this stuff.
You know, I think it's really fascinating. But did it come to you afterwards or before, though? That's
after, yeah.
Yeah.
Long after.
I would think so. Well, you know, here's another question. It's kind of related. It's about technology. And I read that when you were working on these things, you'd work on a laptop that wasn't connected to the internet, which is interesting.
Yeah.
A different way of using a tool.
Yeah. I mean, actually, that's an instinct. I mean, if you want to have your mind to yourself, you have to turn your phone off, or you have to like turn off wireless or something. For me anyway, because I tend to not be able to like walk and chew gum at the same time. So I definitely can't think of a new idea while I absorb 1,000 other ones in the encyclopedic internet, you know? So, and I kind of got that idea also because I read an article where Jonathan Franzen wrote Freedom in a kind of nondescript beige office with, you know, buzzing fluorescent lights overhead. And he had an old computer that he'd put crazy glue in the USB jack and then snapped off a cable so that he had no option to connect to the internet.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was, so really, he's sitting in a room. It's his mind and a typewriter, in essence. And he's, you know, working in that way. And And I thought, yeah, I'm not going to get anything done if I let the whole world in that room with me.
I want to play one of the older songs from these performances. And did you try to rethink everything? I mean, obviously, you had to play a lot of these a lot on the Reminder tour. And did you rethink things a bit?
A lot of the songs worked. They slid right into this kind of this new vocabulary. But some of them didn't. And that... you know, that feels fine. It feels like there's no point forcing it. But I'm much more interested in just being true to this vocabulary right now and being in this, you know, this sort of scape right now.
Well, this is one that that certainly works. This is a version of So Sorry. So Sorry, live on stage from World Cafe Live with our guest today, Feist, and her amazing band. Well, I wanted to do one more from Metals, which was one of my favorites, which is is comfort me. And when someone gets on stage and uses the first person and sings about things, one assumes these things come from experiences directly. Do you shy away from that, or do you embrace that?
I guess any perspective is legal. any side of the story or vantage point, whether it be mine or me imagining someone else's or me in the past or me in the future. I mean, in a way, that's the freedom of songwriting, and nothing is kind of off the table. For sure, there's always an autobiographical part to everything, even if I were to say something terrible, like about myself. You can say she or he or they, you know, but it's all, no matter what perspective is doing the telling, it's usually in some way something I've seen, whether seen it for myself or just seen it next to me, you know.
Well, I love this song. This is Comfort Me.
Thank you. comfort me. It doesn't bring me comfort, actually.
Comfort Me, another one of the performances from World Cafe Live. And Feist, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having us.